So you're listening to the audio-only version right now. Could be SoundCloud, could be Spreaker, could be iTunes. Either you're on the road, you're traveling, you're blind, or you're not aware that there is so much more to see in the video version of this podcast. Not only do you get to see the guests, but all of the sketches, the cutaways, and there's some exclusive sketches over there for Mug Club members or people watching the YouTube live stream. We put in different ads for audio and for video, and we appreciate the support. Listen, we're growing leaps and bounds. We can only do that if you guys support by joining at lottowithcrowder.com/mugclub. It's $69 annually for students, veterans, or military, $99 for everyone else, and not only do you get the hand-etched mug, but it is what allows us to grow and become the network. So you're not only getting this, but you could be getting a dozen other shows, all of your favorites. We want to bring them under the same umbrella. We can't do it with YouTube and Google and the unholy alliance between Facebook and Apple and Twitter trying to squeeze us, and we appreciate the help. Enjoy the show. Louder with Crowder Studios, protected exclusively by Walther
and Hopper.
Hey, before you enjoy the show, just want to let you know this is the last week to sign up at lottowithcrowder.com/tour for the Texas A&M Halloween Spooktacular next week. The main venue is almost full, but we have an overflow room, which is actually a theater, where I, Pentelis, half-Asian Bill Richmond, will be doing an exclusive Q&A. So it's a whole deal. It's not just some room where you're put by the corner. Please do sign up, lottowithcrowder.com/tour, and here's a little bit of what you missed for those who are not Mug Club members.
Again.
Boo, Pedro, not today. You're not sitting your best.
3, 2.
I can't breathe.
And he came and he found the disciples asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. I love how they needed, you didn't need to add that.
Yeah.
God. They're asleep. It's bad enough. Apparently, God wasn't a comedy writer, because I would have edited that down for time.
To call someone an asshole is to essentially call them a hole, an empty space.
Right.
Which is deeply insulting. But it's not just that you're an empty space. You're an empty space that occasionally is filled. But when you're filled, you're just filled with shit.
The hole doesn't
because even the shit won't linger.
Louder with Crowder's annual Halloween Spooktacular at Texas A&M University, October 31st, 2019. Go to louderwithcrowder.com/tour for details.
Quarterback, what if we sell out the main venue?
Remember what Mr. Hollerin said. There's an overflow room in the same building as the Rudder Theater, Half Asian Bill.
Speedy to school.
wasn't able to finish my dance because the book got a hold of me from our guest today, Senator Rand Paul.
Boom! I've told you, books are dangerous.
The Case Against Socialism. And apparently he wrote me a nice letter in there.
Oh, nice.
Anyway, he will be on the show later today. Oh, very happy to have him.
He already canceled.
And we'll be talking about this landmark sort of case right now that everyone's talking about. This father who has allow the mother to raise the child who's a boy as a girl. Yeah. I know it's confusing because he, she, z.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
We'll just go with mental illness. So, question of the day. Past few weeks, biological male beat the crap out of women in the World Cycling Championships, and now we have a court facing, again, the dad to raise his boy as a girl. At what point can we say that the whole "it doesn't affect you" argument that we used to hear from the trans LGBTQAIP community is a lie? And at this point, is it fair to say that the LGBTQAIP movement is coming for your kids? What do you think? Also, you know what? Is it even possible for a 4 or 6-year-old to be transgender? Right. I argue no. But I want to hear from you, the people. All right. Before we move on to the news of the day, my half-Asian lawyer, Bill Richmond's here.
Hi, friends.
How are you? You've been very busy this last week.
It's been an interesting week.
Any word back from YouTube?
Nope, not a peep.
Okay. Yeah, of course. Quarter Black Garrett, show him your hood.
What's up, dogs?
That is awful.
Wow, that's the worst yet.
You should be rejected from both the Caucasian and African-American community. And G. Morgan Jr., commonly known as Gerald A.
Stop it.
What's the wine of the day?
True. Emelo Merlot. Just Gerald.
What does that mean?
Save Gerald.
What does that mean?
Emelo's the last
name
of
one of save Gerald?
You're
here.
Yeah, but save Gerald.
We're save us from you stomping on the bits.
Just Gerald.
All right. So we're going to be talking about all of those and also AOC's recent questioning of Mark Zuckerberg. Right. I have a lot of news to get to. But first, Daft Punk had sex with the big comfy couch, and this happened.
The broccoli.
That's abuse.
Broccoli abuse.
What was that? Was that some kind of climate thing? Is that what?
Yeah, I don't think anybody knows anymore.
And you guys, yeah, that was.
You had the big comfy couch in the United States, right?
Oh, yeah.
Where she would do the stretching with the cloth.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
And as a kid, we all got very comfortable when we started doing it. We were like, wow, that looks like a very, I wouldn't say big comfy couch, I would say inviting couch.
Right before nap time. Was that right before or after Pee Wee Herman? I just don't remember.
Well, it depends. Pee Wee Herman showed up on set and then he was banned from the craft service table.
Whoops.
But leading the news, first story we have to get to is, you know, Hillary Clinton, Rodham.
Yes.
Lest you confuse it. Hillary Rodham Clinton. I want to make sure we're clear.
Different.
Tweeted a parody letter between JFK and Khrushchev this week to mock President Trump. This comes from Yahoo. The recently discovered letter said, had words, quotes like, "Don't be a dick, okay? Get your missiles out of Cuba. Everybody will be saying, yay, Khrushchev, you're the best." So a parody letter, fake letter was written. Going the Adam Schiff route.
That's hilarious. So funny.
Oh, Hillary Rodham Clinton shared a fake letter claiming to be from a past president. And I mean, it shouldn't surprise anyone. You know that President Trump had to respond in kind.
Dear Jeffrey Epstein. Epstein, it's me, Bill Jefferson Clinton. I had a blast on the you-know-what island. Frankly, you know, with the girls who were all definitely not underage or kidnapped. Wink, wink. I wrote wink, if you saw there. Truthfully, it helped me forget Porky in the Blue Dress, or as you know her, Mrs. Humidor.
Hey, who messed up my U? Who broke the U? Pence?
Besides, frankly, I've never seen little people that flexible before. Or is it dwarves? Midgets? Let's go with magical little people of the forest. I'm just sorry I couldn't get Donald Trump to go. That man, frankly, is the best at parties. When Trump is at a party, it's only the greatest party. That's what they tell him. Probably because he's not married to a filthy bitch like Hillary. It wouldn't frankly surprise me if Trump is president one day. Unlike that filthy bitch Hillary. Sincerely, William Jefferson Clinton.
You know, it's difficult because we have to edit him for time, but you don't want to take him out of context.
Yes, absolutely. Right.
So
he's a prolific writer.
Can we all agree that that was contextually appropriate?
It was.
The main
points were
he's
hit.
Just unnecessarily flowery. And tweeting from a typewriter is difficult.
He's an artist.
So
I did think his calligraphy was amazing.
It was, yes.
Wow. His
penmanship is dead in this country.
Feather penmanship.
Spelling, not so much. And you know what? The quill doesn't have the built-in bent-back paperclip. Did you mean
mean hippopotamus?
No, stop it.
That's why you still get a public library. Right? You go to a public library, seriously, that paperclip pops up, that purple gorilla, and it takes you to Bing. So immediately,
which is a wasteland.
I just Bing Google. Speaking of world leaders, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau managed to win, for those who don't know, the re-election as Prime Minister of Canada. Though his narrow victory means he will lead a minority government, which is rare in Canada, forced to depend on the other parties to govern. So some view his victory amidst scandal as a surprising turn of events. Oh. Actually, we go now live to his re-election celebration in process. Justin Trudeau, gonna Justin Trudeau.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Love it.
Gotta let him fly.
And to further commemorate his re-election, he commissioned this portrait to hang in the Prime Minister's mansion. So, yeah.
Oh. Yes. Oh. Look at him.
Nice.
What a stud. What a
oh,
stud.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? I think we just really don't care about blackface anymore.
If you even dream about defeating me, you better wake up and apologize. And I'm so pretty.
Does that mean Sarah Silverman is going to run next, right? Successfully?
Yes, pretty much. Yes. I really think it's made up. I think being outraged at blackface is just something made up for people to do to pin on Republicans.
No, I think there's obviously some history there with the minstrel shows, and it's different from Asian face or brown face.
I get that.
But, yeah, they are using it selectively. Because he wasn't just blackface. He was black arm and calves.
He went the whole routine. He was committed.
Yeah, I don't know what he was thinking. I know exactly what he was thinking. There's some people who just, they do blackface and it's taken out of context and they screwed up. I mean, he did this all the time.
Yeah.
He was like a cross-dresser. Yeah. That's his thing, only it was blackface.
He went to get a spray tan, except it was a couple of
like
shades too dark.
Every Halloween costume he was looking for. You think I could be Michael Jordan? Not this year. Scottie Pippen?
No, it's not okay.
It's St. Patrick's Day. Stop. Justin,
how about D-Rod? Michael Jackson? That's sort of gray territory. Kind of ashy territory.
With some white parts.
Keeping things international, I guess. Australian climate change activists, they decided to literally bury, a sign of protest, they literally buried their heads in the sand.
It's changed my mind.
Compelling.
I mean, I'm willing to change my actions to keep them from putting their asses in the air.
That's so true.
I think a lot of us are.
Yeah.
Also, Harvey Weinstein was off camera.
Oh, he was like, and go.
And Kevin Spacey.
Thank you.
Yes. Carbon offsets. Don't buy them. Do this. Don't buy them. I didn't make the rules. I just enforce them. It's all part of this Extinction Rebellion global movement against climate change. And in a cruel twist of irony, actually, they ultimately contributed more to global climate emissions than they intended.
One, two, three. How dare you?
You knew it was going there.
The battered lesbians really have their hands in a lot of 501c3 cookie jars.
They are just prolific.
You never know. Anytime we get to use Terminator 2.
It feels like there's a little bit of exchanging of monies that could be untoward, like Bono's One.
Probably.
Only with battered lesbians and farts. By the way, I'm not entirely clear in Terminator 2 when that nuke bomb happens and she's on the fence. And then she's nothing but a skeleton still holding onto the fence. Like, there's no musculature.
No.
How are you still gripping?
It's the death grip of bones that cannot have a death grip anymore.
No, there's no tendons.
It's a
the
flaw.
Bones don't stick together.
But they won awards for that. So.
And it's Halloween. Bone up on your skeleton knowledge.
Oh, good Lord.
Do you use these in court?
I am a father.
You have sauntered into my realm, sir.
Your Honor, I think it's time to bone up on Exhibit B. Guilty.
The bones. Shoot.
It's a bunch of bones.
I never win. Tuning into we're going to get some serious topics in a little bit.
One of these days.
Eventually.
Turning to entertainment news, pop star Miley Cyrus. I have to say pop star Miley Cyrus because some people are going, what? I know there's some Fox News kind of runoff going, who?
What?
Is that the guy who did the little golfer on Mary Tyler Moore where he would put his knees into shoes and he looked smaller than... I find him very humorous. Miley Cyrus, he told women that you don't have to be gay if you find the right man. But I really wanna, responded Pete Buttigieg. And that was an official
statement from him. Oh my gosh, she said something that was true and she's getting all this backlash. It's like the Freudian slip, like, I can choose not to do this.
Yeah. A Horridian slip.
Yeah. Oh,
even better.
Remember when people used to get mad at Christians? They would wrongfully say, being gay is a choice. And everyone would say, oh, how dare you? And now Miley Cyrus is saying, being gay is a choice.
That I made.
Come full circle, fella.
I'm fairly certain. But the principle applies. Like, you don't have to choose Miley Cyrus music either. If you find good enough music, you don't have to listen to her.
Yeah.
So
that's true. I'm trying to think of any Miley songs that I know.
Party in the USA.
What was the one where she was on the Wrecking Ball?
I think it's called Wrecking Ball.
Is it called?
Yeah.
I'm very out of touch with black culture.
But he knows the song.
I think they're a fan of her. I don't know.
She
did something with T.I.
They're fairly certain they completely disowned her.
Well, then I'm just so black that I'm out of touch with white culture. In a related story, the United States, related, see, segue, has seen an increase in STD cases for the fifth straight year.
What the?
So, you know, it's actually a pandemic. Did you know that?
It's a pandemic.
Yeah. It's global. Ladies and gentlemen, that means it's finally time. It's time to kill Charlie Sheen.
Winning.
No, you're not. It's the opposite of winning. The only person who still uses that, by the way, is our president, Donald Trump.
Somebody should get Miley and them together.
I wouldn't be surprised if you say, I have tiger blood. What are you talking about?
And he made that up. He patented it.
I really like it when they take news stories and they turn it into a song when they were just stating things and not singing. But then they turn it into like they were singing.
Another related story.
So much explanation.
Amy Schumer. You guys know Amy Schumer. She's still around. She's partnering with HBO Max to release a documentary about her pregnancy and the journey that preceded it. We actually have an exclusive first look.
Only a few mere miles off the bustling island of Manhattan, we hear the wails of Megaptera amius schumerius, better known by its binomial nomenclature as the humpback or comic whale. She lets out a loud moan to any who will hear it as an invitation to the wondrous dance that is mating. But today, her cries go unanswered as they echo through the depths of the cold blue yonder. Such are the mating struggles of the Megaptera amius schumerius.
Yeah.
Finally.
It's tough. That's very tough. Yeah.
I don't know if that's... Yeah. We're safe legally,
I like
right?
Blue Planet. It's that's great.
Why the hell did he have to make a documentary about somebody who didn't really want to be pregnant?
Was Blue Planet, was it originally Richard Attenborough and then they replaced it with his brother? There's another Attenborough.
There's a brother?
David.
I don't know.
David, yes.
David, but were they brothers?
That sounds true, but I don't know
is
about that.
Is that like Christopher Hitchens and Peter Hitchens?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Richard ate the other one.
I don't watch TLC. I don't watch any television unless it's TLC and a show about black midgets. that's a real thing. My wife makes me watch Married at First Sight.
Uh-huh.
And there was a preview on that show. I'm sitting there like, I don't want to watch this reality show. And there was a preview where two midgets got into a fight in a speedboat, and one shoved the black midget off the boat, and she went, ah!
Did she skip along the water?
Yes. Yes, it was like when you used to do that bird game that was the Flappy Bird.
Yeah,
skip
yeah.
Across
yeah.
It was a black midget like a skipping stone.
And so then you were in, right?
I don't know that I learned anything.
basic physics.
Let's go over to the History Channel to learn about mermaid sightings.
Something.
Finally, the New York Times, they were asking this week if you can really be addicted to video games.
Oh, yeah.
Pointing to research suggesting that it's not far-fetched when you actually consider all of the societal and cultural factors. It's not a new argument, but reminds us. Let's check in with President Trump's Twitch stream.
Okay, new users, welcome to my 48-hour Fortnite marathon. Boom! I could do this all day, noob.
Suck a bag of dicks, you SOB.
I don't even know how would someone even do that? Hey, kid, what size are you?
What?
In a shirt, like what's your chest and your arm like?
Child medium?
Because I think it's time for you to try on some of this. Oh!
Yeah, we'll try on some of these.
These what?
These nuts.
Oh, that's funny. That is good. I'm gonna use that.
We're going to have to upset you, Bob.
Oh,
oh, Mr. President.
Oh, gosh. Just...
The kid deserved it.
You tarnish the office.
Yeah, it's horrible.
I love that he plays that.
I agree with that. I mean, Cool Ranch Doritos? I mean, what a terrible choice. I mean,
no, those are the best.
Hey, just Cool Ranch, please be presidential.
Those are the best.
Spicy or Flaming
Thanks,
Hot
Gerald.
Only.
Hell no. Cool
there's
Ranch
also,
all the way.
Game Flaming Fuel is a thing from Mountain Dew now. Game Fuel.
Yeah.
There's so many different fuels.
And it's the same stuff, but just new packages.
I don't even know. Just and honestly, I think
it's like antifreeze.
I think premium is a myth.
Premium.
What?
Filling up at gas when it's like, do you want premium? I don't think it makes any difference.
Same thing.
I think it's the same thing. I think they're all coming out of the same tank underground, and you're just paying 40 cents more.
No. They actually add Red Bull to the premium.
Do they really?
Oh,
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Extra room.
Awesome.
And to the game fuel from Mountain Dew, they add cancer. So there's all
that. Oh, wow.
A little bit of asbestos. You're in good company, Daily Wire Tumblr. Hey, read for us here, Quarter Black Garrett, this week's winner of the trivia contest.
The Joshua Larson wins.
By what?
But what do you mean by what?
Well, you correctly identified that the little Jesus and little Santa wrestled during the 16-hour
yes,
scene.
Yes, they did.
Do yeah. your prep.
That's
in
a
figgy
cuss.
Pudding, I believe.
He quarter woke up at 2 o'clock.
No, that's true.
Before we move on to the transgender case, Mark Zuckerberg, he was on the Hill to be questioned about Facebook's new cryptocurrency. And it kind of ties into what we've been talking about with big tech and their power. Mm-hmm. So you would think, AOC got on the mic, and everyone's been talking about how this is not a right or left issue. We should come together. But then Andrea Ocasio-Pinto,
Alexandria.
Nina Santamaria Cortez decided to be Ocasio-Cortez. That's what she did.
One more question. In your ongoing dinner parties with far-right figures, some of who advance the conspiracy theory that white supremacy is a hoax, did you discuss so-called social media bias against conservatives, and do you believe there is a bias?
Congresswoman.
What?
I don't remember everything that was in the question.
That's all right. I'll
I don't remember everything in your nonsensical question.
Can you explain why you've named the
right,
Daily Caller, a publication well-documented
can't believe I'm on Mark's
with ties
side.
To white supremacists as an official fact-checker for Facebook?
Wow. Look at that.
Wow.
So we talk about wanting to curb the power of big tech, and we want... Yeah. Here's a couple of things. First off, she goes, white supremacy. What ties to white supremacy from
well-documented, by the way. What?
You mean Tucker Carlson, who shows up with the hood and burning cross? What is he? He's not John Goodman from Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? So don't let that flag touch the ground. So right away, she starts with the premise, ties to white supremacy. Here's something that's interesting. When you look at what we were talking about with Tulsi Gabbard and our cases with our instances, our run-ins with YouTube, I don't want to misspeak legally, we are consistently always asking for more transparency. And by the way, I would never vote for Tulsi Gabbard. But we are all actively trying to defend her right to reach you on an even playing field.
Yeah.
The left, AOC, is demanding that they eliminate voices while we go forward and go, hey, we just want to make sure that Tulsi Gabbard is getting the same shake as we get, is getting the same shake as Young Turks get, as Seth Meyers. We want to make sure that our channel isn't being throttled and nobody is, that what you claim your platform is what it actually is in real life. Yeah. Instead, AOC is saying, can you eliminate these voices because I say they're white supremacists?
Exactly. Yeah. And one of the examples that she gives is that there are these fake ads. Would you take these down? And he won't kind of refer to them as fake ads and take them down. Everything she just said was a fake ad.
Right.
Yeah.
According to her, this is a white supremacist magazine with well-documented ties, and he's having dinner parties with people. He's meeting with people.
Here's what I would say. Should Daily Caller be allowed to run ads? Yes. Should AOC be allowed to run ads accusing them of being white supremacists? No.
Yeah.
One is an opinion. One is just somebody promoting their business. One is committing libel and slander, right? Which slander's libel's written?
It would be libel if it's written.
Okay, it would be libel.
Libel. What if it's That's spoken, libel. Like, on camera?
And she's upset, too, that Daily Caller like right is a fact checker. So in the world of AOC, she doesn't... So what do we have? We have Snopes. We have PolitiFact.
Yep.
I think we have Washington Post. We have YesPLC. These people all have strong leftist ties and have given massive amounts of funding to Democratic candidates. Let me ask you this. If not Daily Caller, and by the way, Daily Caller is seen as more of a sort of beltway conservative website.
Right, yeah.
If not Daily Caller, you have Snopes, PolitiFact, right, Washington Post. Which conservative outlet would be acceptable? Yeah. She is there arguing for less transparency, arguing for more elimination of voices, and just tell us then, what conservatives should be allowed to sit at the table? Am I a white supremacist? I know you've accused me of being a sexist on Twitter. And this is all the while, what we're talking about, Daily Caller being a white supremacist fact-checking organization, Russians running $4,000 worth of ads, while we are ignoring the Leviathan in the room, the giant threat to the freedom of information, to access information, which is big tech itself.
Yeah.
Where they can shut off, they can throttle you so that you don't even find Tulsi Gabbard when she's trending or her channel. Yeah. Or if you search Steven Crowder changed my mind, it doesn't even show up. That's a much bigger threat than some quizzlings at Daily Caller doing some fact-checking on the bullcrap fact-checking from PolitiFact and Snopes.
Gosh. It's kind of funny. I almost felt sorry for Mark Zuckerberg there. It was a really challenging thing. Like, you put me in a bad position. And also, his answer to that was hilarious. He's like, actually, it's an international organization that does this and puts them on a trusted list. And she's like,
okay, we'll talk about them. Or we'll have some updates, hopefully, with YouTube and what's going on with big tech here. Yeah. Actually, maybe at the A&M show, which you reminded me. These are...
You're wearing maroon. That's the A&M colors. So we'll be there in a week.
What is an Aggie?
I think it's the name that they go by. So Texas A&M Aggies. There's other schools, actually. I think Mexico State, they have called themselves Aggies before, but agricultural. So, you know, they're essentially...
Your Honor, he didn't answer the question, Your Honor.
They couldn't fit agrarian on the jersey.
They tried,
Is Aggie short for agricultural? Is that the thing?
Yeah.
I don't know these things.
We're the sharks. We're the apex.
I thought he was lying. That's what I'm saying.
We're the apex predator of the ocean. We're the longhorns. We'll gore you. We live a primarily sedentary lifestyle, even though many of our colleagues were nomadic, and now we have an undue dependency on fossil fuels.
Fighting Irish.
We still use sundials. Here we go. Okay. So let's move on to this. I really do want to... Yeah. The trans thing is everywhere right now, and this is something that can affect everybody out there.
Yes.
There was a court hearing this week about whether a 7-year-old boy, James Younger, is going to be transitioned to a girl against the wishes of his father. Yeah. So I want to clarify. I want to set up the context here. His dad, Jeff Younger, he says that his son is a boy and identifies as one. His mother, Anne Gorgolis. Were those the bad guys in Toy Soldiers? The Gorgons?
Yeah, the Gorgolises. Yeah.
Well, that was foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Now we know.
Those were the good guys.
Oh, they were? Well, then let's just scrap that. We'll edit that in post. She is not amongst them. The mom, Anna, we'll call her Anne. Sorry. She claims that the boy is a girl, calls him Luna. We'll get to her justification in just a minute. They've been fighting this battle for quite some time, and I want you to watch this for yourself. Here's a clip of the boy, I believe at 3 years old, explaining the situation as the father discovered it.
Well, you're a boy, right?
No. I'm a girl.
Who told you you're a girl?
Mommy.
When did she tell you were a girl?
I love girls.
Oh, I see. So mommy told you were a girl?
Uh-huh.
Does mommy do anything else, like with a girl with you?
Mm-hmm.
Like what?
Like
what does she do?
She do puts them on me.
She puts dresses on you? Oh, wow.
At first, I thought I said Cheez-Its. I'd be like, your mom puts Cheez-Its on you? That's even weirder. But look at it. Did you hear what he just said? He said he loves girls. That boy's not trans. He's a horn dog. He doesn't need a hormone replacement clinic. He needs a sex addiction clinic. I love girls. What? Oh. Is that what you... How can you... It's like, I love girls. Trans? No, I said I love girls. Tranny? You're tranny? You want to be a girl? No, I love girls. I want to honk them. Trans?
You want to be...
You want a honkers?
Bill is strikingly quiet. You're not uncomfortable with this, are you, half Asian Bill? You can't be quiet. You can't show up and be quiet because of legal
liability. That's where you draw the line, Bill?
So, Tuesday...
Just waiting for my moment to jump in.
Tuesday, the jury...
Biding my time.
So on Tuesday, the jury ruled against the father, forcing him... to raise the boy as a girl. Now, the final ruling, obviously, here's the thing. The jury doesn't set precedent, right? What will set a precedent is this will likely be appealed.
Yeah, so you've got the jury who decided, you know, who is going to be a conservator? Are there going to be a joint conservatorship, the mom and the dad? And what the jury ruled after the trial was that there would be one sole conservatorship. And then, the precedent comes from the appeal itself. So what is the decision? There's no question that there's going to be things fought back and forth about the ultimate ruling that comes from the judge, and it's got to still be set in stone. Everything's got to go at that point. Then it gets appealed, and when the appeals court rules on it, then that starts to set what we consider to be true precedent, which is
authority that is binding on other courts.
So if an appeal set the precedent, meaning that the father had to raise this boy as a girl, or I know the mother, as far as I understand it, wants sole custody, that is that should raise the hair in the back of your neck. Yeah. It could set a legal precedent in how we are forced to deal with kids who mention being a different gender.
Yeah.
Right? That could affect thousands of families. Well, what is it, 0.02% as far as actual trends, but they want it to be higher. But here's a clear thing. That's not even what happened here. Yeah. So I want to be clear on this, and I think we also have an overlay later that Quarterblack Garrett can bring up of the mom using the child. But initially, the boy didn't just say he wanted to be a girl, right? That would be, boy says he wants to be a girl. Yeah, that's the mom using the boy for
advertising for her business.
Advertising.
Yeah, advertising for the business and then claiming that the father is starting a media whirlwind.
Right, yeah.
While doing that pose in front of the pseudo, like, mid-90s Sears catalog background that you send out on Christmas cards. The boy didn't say, hey, I'm a girl, I was born in the wrong body. None of that.
No.
Namely because he doesn't have that vocabulary. But he did actually, what he identified as was he wanted to be Starfire, a female superhero from the cartoon Teen Titans Go. You know, you're more familiar with cartoons. You're
a
nerd.
I got kids, it's a girl.
Well, no, it's not for your kids. You know, so is that what it is?
I don't. What are you?
Who among us has not identified as a cartoon?
Okay, but I love it.
Okay, so it's a girl. So he wanted to be a girl superhero. And an argument that's often used, that's been accused of being a straw man, conservatives have said, you know, my son said that he wanted to be Spider-Man. Thank God we didn't raise him as that. And people go, that's an absurd example to make. That's exactly what's happening right here.
Yeah.
Think about this. Gosh. You are assuming and allowing a permanent sexually charged decision to be based on a kid's superhero fantasy. Let's be clear about this. This will affect the sex organs and the sexual capabilities of this child for the rest of his life because the mom wants to copy-paste having a daughter on that boy. When I was a kid, I liked the Black Ranger. Now, my parents could have said, hey, he likes the Black Ranger because of his wisecracking, freewheeling attitude. It wouldn't have been appropriate to assume that I like him because I'm into hardcore interracial pornography.
Jeez. That's just a coincidence.
No, both can be true.
Looks like something. Hey, I think something's happening with the Black Ranger and Kimmy. What are you, a cuck? I don't know what that means, Dad.
What does that mean?
Just wait 15 years. The alt-right will come by, and they'll make you very aware of this disgusting subculture.
Oh my gosh.
So the mom's other evidence that this boy James is a girl includes him liking the movie Frozen and
that's
picking girl
taste.
Toys at McDonald's. So he watches Frozen
evidence.
And he picks girl toys. You know what? I'm actually not that surprised considering
I love girls.
Yes!
Yeah.
He's probably looking up the Happy Meal toy skirts and undressing Elsa with his eyes. Now, if he said I love boys, maybe he's a homo, but he didn't. He said, I love girls. Is there anything more natural than a little boy to say, I love girls?
Yeah. And, I mean, at seven years old, I mean, come on.
And legally, I've got to imagine here, half Asian Bill, how does that constitute evidence if someone brings forward, well, he likes Frozen. He picks the girls' toys at McDonald's because that's what's being used here for the jury to say, well, you have to raise her as a girl.
I mean, there's a whole, I mean, what we know from the reports of what happened at the trial, they had competing experts. They were presenting evidence like this back and forth and back and forth. There was other witnesses who were talking about the boy identifying as a boy, saying he's a boy, saying he wants to be a boy, saying he wants to do boy things. Mm-hmm. And then you have these experts who essentially go in and say, well, you know, he didn't know what he was saying then, but he actually knows what he's saying when he's saying these other things about being a girl, but you heard that what he said in the video, which is his mother was telling him that he's a girl, and that's where ultimately the question comes down to: can you take these types of statements from a child who is seven, someone who's looking at toys, who's looking at other things, and decide, okay, now we're going to permanently make this change and allow this change to happen? And that's the scariest part about it, is because we don't have any statutory protections.
Right.
We don't have, no matter what happens, there's nothing that prevents you from giving your child hormone blockers or to be able to do these kinds of changes other than some doctor saying, this is going to hurt the kid. Mm-hmm. And what we would see out of this is a dangerous precedent, is to be able to say that judges everywhere get to decide the medical
permanence. Well,
the
boy sometimes claims to be a boy, sometimes he claims to be a girl. We believe that he's confused, so in the spirit of precaution, cut off the cock.
Yeah.
What are you about to say there, quarterback?
Well, this little kid, he sees his mom as like the most important person in his whole life.
Yeah.
And that person is saying, you're a girl because you like Frozen.
Right.
Well, he's going to go, oh, okay, I guess she's right. Yeah, I am going to be a girl now.
How do you feel about Frozen? Elsa makes me tingly in my pants. You're gay. You're trans.
Right.
No. I meant the opposite of that.
Yeah. I'm going to go look at my She-Hulk superhero card underneath the bunk bed. Bye.
That was me.
That was you. Yeah, that was absolutely you. Yeah.
The She-Hulk superhero card and the high-cut bikini, that's not a joke, made me realize I was a boy. But and we're going to get to the experts and to that point that you were just talking about. But please hit the notification bell if you're subscribed. Apparently, subscriptions don't mean a whole lot. Notifications don't always work. Just bookmark the page. There's a new video every single day at 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock live stream Thursday. And join Mug Club. LoudOfCredit.com/Mug Club because we don't make any money on YouTube. Any word on that yet?
Not a peep.
Okay. I'll figure it out. Bye. I am a figment of your imagination. And I love girls. Also, so let's go to this.
Tranny.
That was a good point that you were making there, Quarter Black Garrett. The kid is a boy with the dad and a girl with the mom. So it's not even consistent. So some witnesses have testified that James behaves like a girl when he's with his mom, but as a boy with his dad, and he's completely happy being a boy when he's with his dad. So if a mom puts her son in dresses, she paints his nails, and clearly wants him to behave as a girl, he will do that to please her. And I will tell you, this is very, very common for children, right? Yeah. You want to please your mother or your father. Let me give you an example. My mom was a, and still is, she works for the show, I'm very fortunate, a wardrobe stylist, an award-winning costume designer, okay? So she would have to go shopping quite a bit, where she would bring these hauls of clothes back. And so often, we would be asked, my dad, my brother, and I, to go help her. So even when I was little. And I remember when we would go shopping, if I was with my dad, it would be fun. I would say, I don't want to go shopping, Dad. I really don't. Yeah. So what I would do is I would attack my father in the stores. I was like a little Kato. That was the game we would play. We would go shopping and I would hide in the clothing racks. And I remember my favorite was we'd go to Payless Shoes.
Best place to
because
hide.
You could see through the shoes and there were mirrors in the floor and I would jump down and attack my father and kick him in the shins and choke him, right? But when I knew I was going shopping with my mother, my dad would be out of town and I hated shopping, but I would act as though I liked shopping because I knew I'd get an ice cream cone.
There you go.
And by the way, I would also want to go with my mother to the women's section because I wanted to undress the mannequins with my eyes or my hands. I was always hoping for nipple. There was never nipple.
No.
And I was maybe hoping...
I have that little one that's not real.
I was maybe hoping I'd run into a poster with, you know, a cutout of the lady who always modeled the teddies in the Sears wish list catalog come around Christmas. And I don't understand why it was always teddies. Do they still sell teddies?
I have no idea.
Every year, the Sears wish list catalog would come by. Like, is there something new? Is it the electric nipple clamps with the late... Ah, it's a teddy!
That explains why Sears is no more.
This is no more.
Right? They're shutting down. Bet everything on teddies. Well, no, it's not an uncommon thing for guys to do that. As a young kid, I was telling them before the show, like, I had a couple of experiences when I was about 4 or 5, where one time I thought it was funny, so I dressed up in my sister's clothes. I didn't do it because I wanted to be a girl. Yeah. I thought it was hilarious, right? And another time, a couple of my buddies, we were out on the field mimicking the cheerleaders' moves when we were like 6 years old, prepping for a playoff game. And
well,
it
was
wasn't
your mom
because we
a
thought
pediatrician?
My, along those lines, my mom could have been like, oh, he's a girl.
Right.
Now we need to put him into all the girls' clothes and let's start transitioning him. No, I was just being funny. I thought it was funny.
But I will say, let me one-up you. Even later, as a young adult, just because when I would hang out with my mom and I didn't want to break her heart, I pretended to like Michelob Ultra.
Ooh, wow.
I know.
Where's my resignation letter?
Yeah, chop it off. Chop it off.
And here's something that's pretty important, too. Did you ever do anything? Well, your mom was... You
I never, ever drank Michelob Ultra.
How dare you?
But you did drink Natty Light. Admit it.
Did you? Apparently, the new Natty Light strawberry is pretty good. Anyway, something else to go back to the court here. The ruling is based on fake science. This is really important to note because a lot of people hear this story and people want to be nice. Everyone here wants to be nice.
Of course.
And you don't want to harm a child. And if you truly believe that this child has a female brain and was born in the wrong body and he's living in absolute agony, I understand. I think it's reasonable for people who aren't educated on this story to feel empathetic for a child, but it's based on a lie. Now, we've done an entire segment on the history of gender theory, how it's not based in real science. So go and watch that. I think we can actually put it up in a box here and you can click that if you're unaware. Yeah. It goes through Simone de Beauvoir, the John Money studies, all the way up to Judith Butler.
It's crazy.
But it's important to note that the court is forcing his father to raise the son as a girl based on something that is not scientific. So a key component of gender dysphoria, by definition, is that it is, I want to make sure I get this right, clinically significant distress or impairment in social, occupational, or other important areas of functioning. We don't see any of that with this boy. All we have to go on is...
I love girls.
And that's a good thing, Mr. Younger.
Yes.
That will serve you well
on the right
in
track.
The years to come.
Oh, my God.
They might not love you back, but
that's true.
Where we go through the whole consent law, right, Bill? And
Life's
then we learn
tough.
It's a give and take.
Yes. Bill's yes.
Like, consent to have for kids.
Bill is half Asian. Bill is notably quiet. his A&M chair. I see an empty chair by the fire.
I think it was the booze
with
he had.
No one to fill it and a small crutch because he has rickets. Second.
The expert's
true.
It was a reference to Dickens.
I got it.
Classy.
For the first time.
I can hear Gerald B. in the other room. He got it.
Oh, Gerald B. Now I'm
He's
excited.
Just like,
Second, also important, the experts in this case can't even get their own theories straight. So we've been told by gender, this is something that's, I'm amazed no one else has pointed this out. Doesn't mean that I'm some brilliant guy who caught it. I just think most people aren't looking at this very critically.
Yeah.
We've been told, and you can go to the Change My Minds that we've done, it's the common argument that gender studies professors, they hold this out there. For years, we've been told gender isn't biologically determined, it's socially constructed. That's the basis of modern feminism and modern gender theory, that gender and sex are different. That's what some of the experts have even testified on behalf of the mom. Okay? But then there are other experts in this very same case arguing the opposite. The boys' counselor, Rebecca Ure, I think is how it's pronounced, said, and I quote, that gender is in the brain, and it's not that you think you are a girl, you are one. So the lawyers argue that the boys being transgender was predetermined biologically, so he can't choose to be a boy anymore, then it's just like a kid with Down syndrome can't choose to not have Down syndrome.
Right, yeah.
But gender's supposed to be societally constructed. How can you have the wrong brain? Yeah. The studies, by the way, too, that claim that transgender people have different brains, we've talked about, it's been debunked. Some people have said this. Yeah. This is important to note, right? Oh, well, there are different brains. No, there was a famous 2010 study. I think it was by, I don't know if we have an overlay here, by Rometty.
Yeah.
And it seemed to demonstrate that there was a different brain, this whole different body theory. But the following year, other researchers, they conducted a far more extensive study, larger sample size, more rigorous testing protocols to try and reproduce the results. Now, they did find some slight differences in transgender brains, but only after cross-hormone sex replacement therapy, not before.
Oh my God.
The most reliable studies we have show us there is no wrong brain in the wrong body, but you fundamentally alter the brain when you switch out hormones.
Yeah. Well, it's like we're trying to shoehorn in an ideology into science, and you can see because they're arguing both sides of this now, they have no clue. They're absolutely confused on what this is actually what is actually going on in the body. They can't tell you one way or the other. There's no evidence. And I think the hardest part of arguing this is not that people are looking at the science and disagreeing with it. It's that we've given up on schools. Kids are being taught that this is totally normal now. And it's been like that for a while. So now people are like, oh, this is totally normal. I don't care what the science says. I already have an opinion on this subject. And it's hard to change our minds now.
You know, what I find interesting, too, is the question of a hurdle, right? Like, what is the hurdle in which this pediatrician, I'm not sure, I think you pointed out.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the all-female hurdles record, which was just shattered by a man. But
It was.
And he literally, like, he was like, just get out the way! And I was like, DMX? Wow! Are you on furlough? Go ahead.
And so, you know, you have a pediatrician, and you think, okay, her oath says that she's going to do no harm. And yet what she's doing here is saying, well, you know, there's this tiny, tiny little molehill of a hurdle, which is, does he say he likes girls? Does he say he wants to play a character that happens to be female? And now all of a sudden we're going to irreversibly change his life and we're going to change his brain structure, according to the studies, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's where you say, okay, where are we going to place that? And are we going to have a court decide whether or not that can happen without any say whatsoever at all? I mean, all the other things that are required to happen with, the government's authority or with at least some kind of checking, and yet this is one of those things that will not be. And with the sole conservatorship with the mom, she's going to have free reign.
Let me ask you this. What's the age of consent in Texas? Is it 16?
Probably
16. Okay. So would we all agree that sexual transition, that would affect your sex life? So we all agree you cannot consent to sex, but how can someone that young consent to a sexual decision that would have permanently affected sex life?
Right. And I think that's the confusion as well here, which is,
good point.
So you're saying, okay, so we're following what the child is saying. Okay, great. So we're just going to follow the child. And so when the child says, hey, you know what? I don't want to go to school today. I want to go to school naked. I want to do whatever I want to do. Oh, no, but we can't trust you when you say that. Right. But we're going to trust you with deciding the rest of your biological life and how you are going to live your life.
We trust,
that's just
we
crazy
trust that
though,
you were
Bill.
Born in the wrong body when you claim that you're Starfire. What's the name of it?
You got it right.
Starfire.
You nailed it.
I was thinking of Star Fox. I'm like, that's a Super Nintendo game. I'm way off.
Samsonite.
I'm just out of touch with black culture. So here's something also really important to note. The counselor, Rebecca Ure, she's of the Gene CIS Clinic. She's the founder of Dallas Rainbow Counseling.
Oh.
And is a radical far leftist. So I want to be clear that you understand, lest you think, well, she's a scientist. She's retweeted claims that if your therapist tries to convince you not to transition, that's the same thing as conversion therapy.
What? Wow.
Yeah. And her counsel, it seems to me almost more comparable to conversion therapy would be converting the kid as you want to do.
Oh my gosh.
You want to change what's under the hood, for crying out loud. I mean, that's a whole
irreparable
thing. Yeah, that's like changing a transmission. You have to get it on one of those things with the chains.
Cherry
which
picker.
You're probably also into, I don't know, at least a hammock.
I think it's a different apparatus.
And her website contains long anti-Trump rants about the election. So do we really think that she's going to be counseling a boy to be a straight white male? That's all that is evil in her world. And if you claim, this is one thing too, if you claim that there is secretly gender-coded whatever, DNA, I guess, because you're not even defining it, but there's some kind of gender that is encoded into the brain. We're not saying sex now. That's important because it used to be sex is different from gender. Sex is biological. Gender is a social construct. That wouldn't hold water. This boy would not be raised as a girl if that were the argument presented. Now they're saying gender is biological. So if a gender is secretly coded in the brain, here's what I ask. Any evidence, please send it to me, comment below. If there is any evidence that gender is a brain issue that's already predetermined at birth, I would like to just, we're kind of going back now with Miley Cyrus. You can choose not to be gay. But you can't control your, I'm sorry, I'm so confused now. I don't even know what to say.
I'm not sure which report
to trust. I am confused. Wait,
trust.
Gender, sex, sexual preference?
I don't know.
Can we just call it perversion?
Yeah, let's just go back to that.
I think it really is time to do that.
Cover it all.
Yeah. Am I allowed to say perversion?
Yes, you are allowed to say perversion.
Cutting off your dick.
At seven.
Is kind of perverse.
It's kind of crazy.
Know.
And so the thing that I find, I guess, most egregious about this doctor's recommendation is that the mom brought these two examples. He likes Frozen and he likes these toys and stuff like that. She brought that to the psychologist. She said the immediate response essentially was transition him socially now. Start dressing him as a woman, sending him to school like that, doing all of those things. And see how it goes. What?
Yeah.
Dress a seven-year-old like that and see how
just,
it goes?
If we're just this case, it would be really sad. But it doesn't affect just this one kid. It will affect thousands of children if this becomes established. Yeah. Like we talked about with the appeal, if it sets a precedent. It will establish a legal way to deal with kids who merely mention that they would like to be a female cartoon character. Or in this case, that they love girls. And by the way, it's literally a life and death battle. Let's be really clear here while you guys are trying to play the whole empathetic card. Why can't we just be nice and use the proper pronouns? As we've mentioned before, if you don't transition children, 75 to 90% of them with gender dysphoria completely grow out of it. Huh. 75 to 90%.
Significant.
And by the way, that's for kids who actually have gender dysphoria. All we have to go on here is...
I love girls.
So, that's not necessarily a case study.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Now, when you look at those who undergo puberty blockers, right, that number of kids who grow out of dysphoria, it drops to 0%.
Ooh.
So without puberty blockers, without the parents making the decision to block their hormones, 75 to 90% no longer transgender.
Yeah.
Start giving them the drugs at that point where I believe they're on the age of they're not able to consent to those drugs.
No.
It drops to zero. And we do know that once they're locked into that identity, children are 19 times more likely to commit suicide than the general population.
Yeah.
Now, I want to be really clear about something here because I've heard some people argue that transgenders already have the same suicide rate before surgery, which is partially true. It doesn't get much better after surgery. I think it's a 41% attempted suicide rate. It remains about the same after surgery, but keep in mind, we know that 70 to 90% of these kids don't end up being transgender.
Yeah.
So 70 to 90% of these kids wouldn't end up in that suicide demographic no matter what, pre or post surgery. Even of the remaining percent that do end up transgender, the transitioning and the surgery, it doesn't improve the suicide rate. From an empathetic standpoint, what is best for that kid? If we want to boil this down, if you don't want that child to die, if you don't want that child to kill himself, you don't give them hormone blockers. Period. That's it.
Yeah. If the court is truly looking out for the best interest of the child, they're going to say, you know what? Maybe have him start watching boy movies and see if he starts saying, I love this thing now because it's boy related, right? And so the father is being accused of using this, we said earlier, as a political platform, but also not following medical advice, right?
Right.
He's the one that's looking out for his child's well-being. His son said, I want to have kids one day. Guess what? If you do chemical castration, off the table.
Yeah.
You can't take that one back.
Yeah.
Is it just time to kind of call this what it is? Like you said, not just perversion, but like, this is mental illness that we're talking about most of the time.
Well, I think it's mental illness on behalf of the parents here.
Yes. Well, yeah.
I don't think a child is mentally ill at all.
No, no, no. Yeah. This child is fine.
The child isn't even identifying. The child is just being a kid. When I was a kid, I said when I grew up, I wanted to be a woman because I wanted to marry my brother because we slept in the same bedroom and I didn't want to have to move out.
Just lazy.
That's not a joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think I said it while I was wiping boogers in between the couch cushion.
That's a good place for them, though.
So not really a reliable testimony.
Wait, that's not where they go?
What were we about to say?
I'm fairly certain that is where they go.
Is it? Yeah.
That is where they go. That was my contribution.
I believed it was a depository.
That mom would never find.
And when I became a teenager, it was also a depository. Here's
whoa!
The thing. I was disgusting and I've repented. Don't judge me for my past.
Judging.
Where do we draw the line here? Let me ask this. What about anorexia?
Yeah.
Okay, this is a delusional disorder where you see yourself as fat when you're not, right? It's a delusional disorder when we're talking about transgenderism. They see themselves as a different sex or gender. I don't even know how to keep track of it. So what do? We say, well, you have to treat this child as though he's a girl. Do you have to deal with your child as though they're fat if they see themselves as fat and they have an eating disorder? They're really, really unhappy with themselves. So they want to be anorexic, or they want to be bulimic, or they want to go on in this case, I guess, the father would say, no, you're beautiful the way you are. Again, the father, who we've labeled as a neo-Nazi white supremacist, just like Daily Caller, according to AOC, he would probably say, you're beautiful the way you are. What a dick. But the mother would be putting her on the lemon cayenne maple syrup diet so she could lose weight.
That's a thing?
It really is unbelievable. Here's the truth. It's evil on behalf of the parents, and it's predatory. The nature of progressism is to progress towards something. Doesn't matter what it is. It wasn't enough for marriage to be declared a fundamental human right for anyone who wanted to do it. So then it's done. They have to progress to ensure that men can take dumps in the women's restrooms. That wasn't enough. Yeah. So then they progress to allow men to compete in women's sports and shatter all the records. That wasn't enough. And so they had to progress to allowing self-identified transgender children to undergo permanent life-altering hormone replacement therapy. And that wasn't enough. Yeah. So now they want to allow the same toxic life-altering transition to kids who aren't even transgender but play make-believe as a famous female cartoon superhero. All of this because
I love girls.
There's nothing wrong with that, Mr. Younger. Someone get that, put a beer in that kid's hand and a Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue in the other. Let's conduct a control study. Let's have a sample size. I bet you we probably won't end up with what mom is hoping. You know, we do have to go to Rand Paul here in a second. Second is now. That means now.
Now.
Open your mind. Let us begin our quest to find it.
And let me be clear, this presidency is for all Americans, for all these Americans, when I look at all these faces, such good faces, frankly. I love it. They're great faces, aren't they, folks? It's for these Americans here who recently came to this country seeking the American dream, for these Americans here whose manufacturing jobs have left them from an era gone by, and most importantly, okay, it's for these nuts. It's for these nuts. That's right.
Time for the one library of the week. Of course, the main way to support the show is join Mug Club. You get access to 80% more content, the entire Blaze catalog. But I want to take this time to tell you about one of our main sponsors here, Firearms Legal Protection. Everyone here at Ladder with Crowder carries. And not necessarily because we want to, but because we have to.
Yeah.
But let's face it, we want to.
Yeah.
We all want to. Bill, Half-Asian Bill Richmond, myself, Gerald, being able to defend ourselves when we're in the public eye is a necessity.
Yeah.
And that's why we have also made sure to carry firearms legal protection. In the event that, God forbid, we ever have to use our firearm, I want to be clear, none of us want to have to use it here.
No, never. Absolutely not. But I also don't want to fear that when I do, that I'm in trouble.
Right. It's better to have it and not need it than it is to need it and not have it. And people say, well, you're 20 times more likely to if there's a gun in the house. Shut up. So, FLP is the leader out there in the prepaid sort of self-defense protection plans, and there are a few other companies out there. And listen, nothing wrong with that necessarily, but FLP has plans designed specifically to protect you and your family. Attorney fees, they can cost you tens of thousands of dollars in situations like this. With your FLP prepaid legal plans, It's all paid for with no deductible, no copay. And they're also the only company, they're the only one out there to cover red flag laws. They'll pay for a bail bond. They'll help you get your gun back. They'll get you through arraignments, trials, witness selection, even lost wages and reimbursement. And as a lawyer, that sounds pretty...
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, I think we've mentioned this before, but I used to work at a gun company. So when I was in college in the gun industry, and everyone there, you know, there's always this misconception that people who carry guns or are fans of the Second Amendment are just like itching. They're all just dirty, hairy, looking to hit, you know, to shoot someone. But within the folks who are in the gun community, those are the folks who are most likely to say, use your firearm at the last moment possible, only when you have to defend yourself and do so in a legal way. But despite being able to do that, there's a reason why. Why I carry FLP, and I'm probably of anyone on the show the best able to defend myself, and I would never choose to do that.
He's a competitive shooter. So, a lot of people don't realize that. He's a very, very good shooter. Yeah, and people who own firearms legally tend to be far more law-abiding citizens. They're not Yosemite Sam, like, I've got FLP! Ka-choo, ka-choo, ka-choo. So anyway, this library has gone on for far too long, but for exclusive pricing on this protection, and I highly recommend it, go to firearmslegal.com/LWC, firearmslegal.com/LWC. A lot of companies do it. They're the only ones to cover some of the instances like red flag laws. It's worth it. Enjoy the show.
This is Vox. This is your brain on Vox. Any questions?
Is this yours?
No,
Your mother said she found it in your closet.
I don't know.
Well, where'd you get it?
Look, Dad, it's not mine.
Where'd you learn to watch this trash? Look, now answer me. Who taught you to do this stuff?
I learned it from watching Maul's boyfriend, all right?
Teach your kids about politics, or Vox and your wife's boyfriend will do it for you.
Did you ever play Cowboys and First Nations people when you were a kid? Yeah, you did? I can't hear you.
You did. What the heck?
Yeah, you played that?
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever have that one friend who refused when you go pow pow? Because it wasn't like paintball, and it was an honor system.
Well, I was a slave at the time.
Oh, yes, that's right. So you didn't play back. You didn't have firearms.
No.
I always had this friend.
Wasn't allowed.
His name was Everett. And I'd go pow pow, and he would never die. He would just keep following you, and then you go pow pow and everyone else. Yeah, I know. It just ruined it for
everybody. One of those kids.
Completely irrelevant to our next guest, but it was just in my mind because it was in the song.
Not relevant at all.
Our next guest, he's returning to the show. We're really glad to have him.
Yeah.
You can follow him on the Twitter at Rand Paul. That's kind of foreshadowing. I kind of just spoiled it. His new book is The Case Against Socialism, commonly referred to as World History. Senator Rand Paul, thank you for being here, sir.
Thank you, Stephen.
Well, I'm glad to have you. You're looking very nice. That's a very vibrant blue that you're wearing.
Thank you. I had my tailor pick out something special because they told me I was coming on your show. So.
Oh, your tailor. Our tax dollars well at work.
So nice.
You didn't know they had a tailor at TJ Maxx, did you?
I did not. I just thought they had a two-way mirror, and that's why I avoid the changing rooms. And for some reason, it looks as though things are just spread across the store, and no one ever cleans it up. I don't know why. But this is the case against socialism. And I wanted to talk about this as it obviously relates to some things we've been talking about with big tech and deplatforming. Something that you wrote in your book that stood out at me was, I don't have the page here, but I have it written down on my iPad. Socialists also acknowledge that socialism requires a supermajority to function. How do you get everyone to agree on a path forward? The easiest way is to deplatform those who don't agree. Now, is this just about, so is that quote specifically regarding socialism historically, or would you apply that to the sort of progressive left today?
I think there's a certain mob mentality that goes along with socialism. When you look back in history and you see some of the violence that was committed under socialism, sometimes it wasn't even the official government. So Hitler had his youth groups. They were sort of like the Boy Scouts that like to hit people with clubs.
That's a good synopsis, right.
The Red Guard was the same thing. Some of it was sort of quasi-official, but it bred this idea of violence. And I guess the best way to put it is that socialism takes the individual's needs and makes them secondary to the collective desire. So if individuals don't matter so much, beating them up with clubs doesn't matter so much because it's for the greater good.
Right.
So collectivism is all about what the greater good is, what the hive needs. Doesn't matter if we, you know, have to have a few million drones that aren't allowed to think or speak. But it does go on in media as well. And we're seeing a lot of groupthink. And probably the one thing that I would say, well, there's several areas, but one area where I would say that groupthink has entirely taken over are the climate alarmists. Many of the television programs now will not let you go on if you're a denier. They make it equivalent to denying the Holocaust, that now you're denying the absolute and certain science of global warming, and no questions can be asked or tolerated. Well, that sort of is what happens under authoritarianism, and some of it we're getting without the authoritarian government, but with an authoritarian attitude of the media.
Right, and so when you're talking about that deplatforming, you mean really in this day and age, in 2019, not allowing different points of view a seat at the table to even discuss?
Yeah, and I think it's getting worse. And I think there is a groupthink that is almost like an authoritarianism in the sense that it is so strong that God forbid that you say anything, you know, that you have any ability to speak out. It also shows that there's an ulterior motive about a lot of the things. In the chapter we have on climate alarmism, we talk about how not only are these people being banned from their viewpoint being heard, there are people now admitting that the climate change crowd, that it's more about socialism than it is even about pollution.
Right.
It's about redistributing wealth from the rich countries to the poor countries.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. If people read the entire five pages of the Green New Deal, they just sort of shoehorn or earmark, I guess to use a term you're super familiar with, and all racial and gender social justice thereafter. You go, hold on a second, what does this have to do with me driving a crossover? And I do think you're actually kind of an interesting case study in this. You and your father, and like Tulsi Gabbard, we just sort of spoke about. At one point, you often would hear the left say, Republicans, right, they hated George Bush. And they would say there are some people who have integrity like Ron Paul and Rand Paul, people who are consistent, you know, more libertarian conservatives. But now they act as though you're extremists. Same thing they would do with Tulsi Gabbard and say, well, you know, at least she's an independent-minded person, particularly after she endorsed Bernie. And now we're seeing some subversive techniques being used to silence her. Have you experienced that and felt more animosity in recent years? Because they often, I don't want to say that they used you as a token conservative, but often you were one who they would say is more agreeable.
Yeah, no, it used to be different, and it has completely changed. Let's say the war issue. The Iraq war, there were people on the right and the left who thought it was a mistake. Trump, myself, more on the right, but also people on the left, because it added to the chaos, got rid of the counterbalance to Iran, made Iran stronger, more terrorism, et cetera. There was all these unintended consequences. Now you can't find anybody on the left who's talking about how the Middle Eastern wars have led to more chaos and instability. You have them all chomping at the bit. We've got to be involved in this Syrian civil war. So I'm down on the floor just today arguing with Chuck Schumer, and he's like, someday, you know, ISIS is going to reform, and someday they're going to attack us like 9/11, and someday you'll be sorry, and someday we're going to have to send Americans back there because of ISIS. And what they completely discount is the people who hate ISIS the most are the people who live there, who had, you know, relatives who were beheaded by ISIS. This includes the Kurds. And people say, oh, well, the Kurds are just fighting for us. Hell no, they weren't. They were fighting for themselves and for their villages, and we helped them.
Sure.
In fact, I'm a little disturbed to see them throwing stuff at our troops as we, you know, redeploy. We help them get their villages back. We help them get an entire part of Syria. Now it's their job to keep it if they want.
So it seems that you're one of the few people who supports withdrawing troops from Syria. I want to make sure, am I getting that right?
Yeah, well, we actually never voted on whether they should be there. I'm one of those people who believes in the Constitution. The Constitution has a method and a means for going to war or being involved in war. The Democrats all say, and many of the Republicans, oh, we're not going to war. We're just going to be sitting over there. They may be shooting at each other, and there may be an occasional bullet, but we're really not going to be at war.
Right.
That's not fair for our kids. And I know young men and women who serve in the military. I have a couple of my nephews who do. And it's not fair to them to send them anywhere around the world without us having a big debate and a vote and a discussion. What is our national security interest in Syria? And I don't think there is one. That's why they don't want to have the debate, frankly.
Well, I wanted to ask you that because right now we're there, right? Whether it was unjust or not. And I understand that's...
We're there this much. We're barely there. We had 50 soldiers.
Right. So, well, what do you say, and that's correct, but what do you say to people who argue that we would be hurting the Kurds if we withdraw? Because that's the most common argument. Like you said, it's kind of a twist turn here that the left is making that argument.
Right. Well, the president said his goal was to wipe out ISIS and take away their land. We did. The Kurds helped, but the Kurds had every interest in doing so because it was their land, they lived there. So we did achieve our goal, but our goal was never to create a homeland for them. In fact, the only people that are probably going to stay permanently is probably Assad. So I actually think it's ironic, but I think their best chance for a homeland is they have a new alliance. It started like 24 hours ago. They're allied with Assad. Russia. They now have the ability. And the other thing that may bring about peace over there, and it probably will, is another irony, but it'll be without us. It'll be without our involvement that peace is going to be allowed. We didn't want the Kurds to talk to Assad, and we didn't want to talk to Assad. We wanted Assad gone, and we wanted Thomas Jefferson to go to Damascus, take over, and give us a great Western-style democracy.
Right.
And so we weren't going to negotiate to them. Putin doesn't care. He's an authoritarian. Erdogan doesn't care. He's an authoritarian. Assad, maybe we get three authoritarians together in a room. They all agree to be mean and terrible to their people, but they go ahead and agree on a border between Turkey and Syria. And maybe the Kurds say, look, we'll fight. You know, we'll fight up in that northern province for you. You need an army to combat the extremists that tried to take over before. Maybe the Kurds could get an agreement like they got in Iraq. Hadn't been perfect, but they have some autonomy up there, and they've actually normalized trade with Turkey. The Iraqi Kurds actually trade have a pretty brisk trade with Turkey.
Let me ask you this as more of a libertarian-minded conservative, because I know a lot of detractors would ask this. You said there are no national security interests as it stands right now in Syria. For you, what would warrant an appropriate measure of going to war? Like, what would be required in your mind to justify war?
Well, the Constitution says we have to vote on it first.
Right.
So it has to be a vote and has to be a binding vote. And we should vote each time we should go to war. We shouldn't vote, like after 9/11, we voted to go to war with those who perpetrated the attack and anybody who supported them. And I would have voted for that. But they now use that to justify troops in Syria, Somalia, Mali, Yemen, you name it. There's probably 24 different countries where we have troops that are actively involved a combat zone or involved, they all justify that on the 9/11 vote. You can't vote a generation ago and say, oh, that's enough. You have to vote every time. So I don't know exactly when we, you know, the exact definition depends on each time we vote.
Sure.
But each time you go to wars, you should have that vote. And that's my big complaint with Chuck Schumer today. I said, you want to have our troops in Syria? Let's vote on it. Let's vote on use of authorization of force in Syria, because they obviously have guns, they have bullets, they're going in the middle of a war zone. We should authorize their ability to use force. Here's the interesting thing. We had the ambassador, special envoy to the Kurds a few minutes ago at hearing, and he said, well, yeah, we really can't go to war with the Turks. We actually have an agreement not to shoot them, and they have an agreement not to shoot us, and it's been in place for a long time. So had we kept those 50 troops there, he said the Turks would have come in, marched around them, not shot at them, and just kept marching. Because we have an agreement not to shoot each other. They know where we are,
right.
But they were coming one way or another. But I think the president made the wise decision. You don't go to war with 50 people. I'm like, I think you go big or you go home. That's a ridiculous war, 50 people. And 50 people deter nothing. The Turks told us they were coming. They didn't say, oh, will you give us the green light and we'll come?
Right.
No, they said, we are coming. And the president, I think, made the best decision. And I'd just soon take them completely out of Syria. I think you probably have peace within a couple of months because, like I say, three authoritarians in the room, they probably figured out.
A war with 50 people. Gosh, the French-Canadian side of my family, with family reunions, are bigger wars than that. They get very aggressive. Let me ask you this. Have you heard anything from Code Pink? Because it seems like they should be all over this. Radio silence from what I'm seeing.
I haven't heard anybody on the left who typically is opposed to new war say anything about this. And this is a problem. You ask about being a libertarian Republican or a libertarian conservative. It did used to be that I could go on some of the liberal programs and they would say, well, we agree with you. We shouldn't put people in jail for marijuana. Or we agree with you that the government shouldn't listen to our phone calls without a warrant. Or we agree with you that the Iraq war was a mistake. So I was treated fairly well on some of the left-wing media. That's all completely gone. They hate me as much as they hate Trump. The Trump derangement syndrome has completely consumed these people.
Okay, hold on. Senator Rand Paul, I want to take this to the web extended to talk more about social media and big tech and deplatforming. For people out there who are watching on the YouTube, we're going to go to a web extended only available to mug clubbers. It is The Case for Socialism by Senator Rand Paul at Rand Paul. We'll be back to wrap it up.
strange new world, for the first time, the baby hippopotamus emerges from the womb, and a new generation begins. Life, the universe's greatest mystery, perhaps God's greatest gift, but why another Schumer?
Look at this pile of trash. Yeah, you. Look at you. You look like a sack of sh**. What you need is some Louder with Crowder merch. Here. There you go. Much better. Yes, admire its beautifully made design. Love sewed in every stitch. Doesn't fix ugly, though. Get your flabby ass some merch at louderwithcrowdershop.com. And for losers who can't scrape together $69 for Mug Club, it's a great way to support the content on which you so fervently freeload. F***er faces.
Was a drop-in surfer who jumped on his board but didn't realize that he was still underwater.
Oh.
So he died.
How'd you get under the board? Because they float.
I don't know, but Kelly Slater responded to some stuff on social media. Apparently might be a fan. I don't want to tar his good name, besmirch his reputation. But Kelly Slater, we would have him on the show. We'd be glad to have you on the show. But the reason that it was inspired because this shirt, which once fit, now fits like a rash guard. Thanks again to Rand Paul, by the way. The web extended is available. We did obviously have to pre-tape that because he was very busy, so we have a full extended version for people who are on Mug Club. Yeah. But a lot of people think, listen, hey, Audio Wade, can you confirm something here? So people go, hey, Steven, you're wearing skinny jeans. Remember, I gave you a pair of pants.
It's true.
Because we're about the same size.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hey, Wade, we're about the same size.
Yes.
I gave you the pants.
Didn't give it to me because I'm a midget.
You're not a midget. You're just
They can't see my legs.
That's true. Could be. You could be one of those phantom amputees, for all we know.
Yeah,
because,
sure.
You know, you're disturbed and disgusting. And why did you so rudely throw those pants back in my
face?
They
were too big in the legs.
They were too big in the legs. They were too big for Wade. Big guy, 6'2". These are just normal pants! And this is an XL shirt, and it's not even fitted. I'm just a fat So. We'll bleep that. We were doing De Niro for another sketch. It's in my head.
Yeah.
Usually this is, you know, the Crowder closes. And by the way, next week, A&M, we are going to be live streaming. I know it's Halloween, but trust me, have it going on. It's going to be a party. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be lit.
And the overflow room that we have, I want you to know, it's not just an overflow room where people sit. We're going to have Pantelis there. We're going to have Bill Richmond in the overflow room. And I will go to the overflow room to do some Q&A thereafter. The overflow room is just as big as the theater. Because we've run out of space, so we added a whole new theater.
Yeah, we do.
So do not be discouraged if they say you're not in the main room. It's going to be a lot of fun with some prizes and giveaways there. Anyway, usually I do the Crowder closes to hopefully try and inspire, offer some advice, and I appreciate how much it's meant to you guys. Not today so much because I had a letter here that I wanted to read to you because I think, even though it may not seem, I need you to stay with me, I'm pretty sure I can help you.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a powerful letter.
So this is a letter to whom I may or may not have to thank for this. Last night I noticed that Crowder was streaming a video about Tulsi Gabbard and the exposure of Google. This was sent to the website, by the way, I should have said. This is a letter from someone.
Yeah.
Hence the paper. It was written with a quill. Yes. We need one of those handwriting experts to see if this was President Trump. Last night I noticed that Crowder was streaming a video about Tulsi Gabbard and the exposure of Google and YouTube. Earlier that day, I had trouble finding a documentary about Clinton corruption that I was going to show my mom. The documentary was no longer on YouTube, but someone else had uploaded it, and it appeared around 100 videos down the list. So when I saw the title of your video, I was naturally curious. Your team stressed the importance of not turning the stream off and making sure to send it to people, which I did. In fact, I found it so important that instead of stopping along the side of the road to use the restroom, I decided to use a Chick-fil-A frosted coffee cup nearby to remedy the situation in order to avoid stopping and potentially missing the video. Chick-fil-A frosted coffee cup. So this is how you know it's true.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of details there. I don't even know what a frosted coffee cup is.
Accurate.
But they do have good cold brew at Chick-fil-A. Really? Or, sorry, whatever their iced
coffee
is. I
mean, it's Chick-fil-A.
It's delicious.
It's all good.
It was a long, straight road. There was very little traffic, so it seemed like a safe plan. I've made this mistake. I'm going to help you. Stay with me. As Kreider began to provide the details, I initiated the process of evacuating my bladder. Bold. Only something was not right. My hand was getting warm, which caused me to overcorrect and urinate all over my shirt while driving down the road. You think it could end here? It doesn't. It goes on for another whole page, but I'm going to try and sort of I'm going to try and edit this a little bit. I don't want to edit it. It's so good.
It's so good.
It's so
good.
Thank you for sending this, sir. No free t-shirt for you, though, because we don't want you to piss on it. It was dark, and I could not properly evaluate what had caused the malfunction, but I took extra caution with my second attempt and proceeded with the evacuation. As I passed the point of no return, I realized that my pants were getting extraordinarily warm, and my hands were now entirely soaked. I now had the entire fluid capacity of my bladder emptied onto myself and my seat. Very well written, by the way. I can't show you this for reasons of privacy. Yes. I don't want to dox anybody. The commas are in the, I mean, you're a grammar Nazi. Commas are in the right place.
It's impressive.
Proper use of apostrophe. Yeah. I think a semicolon appears at one point. He knows how to use a semicolon.
Dickensian, wow. Yeah.
You were just getting to the good part. The crescendo, as you called it. I did call it that. While I was trying to listen to your every word, I was losing the war for attention, thanks now to a cursing buffoon himself who had just covered himself in urine. Not only have I covered myself in urine, I now felt the realization of still having a 2+ hour drive ahead of me. Before my destination. As if in response to that, I thought, my gas light illuminates the cabin to alert me that I am low on fuel. As I pull up, I have to arrive at the fuel pump with a diagonal approach so that the other patrons do not see the water balloon fight that my pants had with themselves. I grab the urine cup, pour it out, and discard, which is when I notice the cup has two lids which are about 1/3 of an inch apart.
The
Chick-fil-A had placed two lids on my frosted coffee earlier that day, and I had not noticed. That's the two-lid trick. It's the oldest trick in the book. I guess they anticipated this.
Yeah.
Foiled, you have been. Apparently, I felt the safety of being inside the first lid, but then proceeded to create a water feature by introducing a forceful stream of liquid between the two lids, which flowed in every direction imaginable. I might mention that I did not notice this until I tried to pour the cup, and it ran all over my hand due to getting caught in the second lid. So now he's getting it in his hand. How did
How
you get
you
this much
this?
Pee everywhere? You have to have some kind of some fail safes here.
Impressive.
Have a pilot list to just make sure you don't piss yourself. Okay. I quickly fill up, get back to the truck, and leave this heavily populated area escape. My dad then calls me because I had texted him a link to the video. I provide him with a brief synopsis of what had taken place. He had borrowed the car from his father. Yeah. This is a true email. What was this? This was titled, "Thanks to Kreider for me being motionless and urine-soaked for 2 hours." Well, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Right, I want to end this because he says, "So special thanks to the Kreider team for creating such a severe sense of urgency in me that I sat in my own urine for 2 hours to make sure I listened to the message. I am not going to put my name on this email because I own and manage several companies, and I feel that I would lose some credibility with the people who work for me." A part of me wanted to dox you just because I was considering the safety of the employees. Yeah. You should not be managing companies. I know that it is unlikely that I'm getting any pity up there, but I imagine G. Morgan Jr. probably has the same problem from time to time, so at least someone up there can empathize. Empathize. Have a great week and keep up the good but menacing work. I appreciate your email. Yeah. Here's the thing. A lot of people don't know this. I've talked about this back in the radio days. There were some years when I was doing stand-up where I logged like over 30,000 miles. I had to drive a lot. And sometimes I would have a car that wouldn't always restart reliably. So I am well-versed in the art of urinating while on the road. And believe me, there is an art, and there is a foolproof way to pull it off where you are not revealing yourself to the public, and you do not run any risk of soiling yourself. So as a public service to all of you, actually, in reading this letter, I recorded an instructional. Please share it for anyone else who has suffered from self-urination vehicular syndrome. Okay, so three key details. If you have to relieve yourself while on the road, number one, you want a disposable wide mouth bottle. I use Gatorade. You could use any drink that has a wide mouth bottle. Gatorade's reliable. Don't use something that you plan on reusing, like a mug, obviously, or you could use a tumbler too. The point is, it has to be a wide mouth. Why? If you use a small mouth, a standard water bottle, a lot of people think that's empty. It's actually not empty. See, when I seal this off, there's actually gas in there effectively, right? And you're creating a seal with your John Thomas, and then you are adding more liquid, more mass, more volume, if you will. And that can create a pressure problem. Think of ever getting your tongue stuck in a bottle. That's what can happen. So first thing, most important, is a wide mouth bottle, because when I need to relieve myself, look, as opposed to it sealing it up, it's just a rest. And I can even, look, the beauty is I can even rest it in my knees here. Got two free hands, okay? So you think I'm settled. No, here's the thing. Detail number two, super important. If I'm peeing in the car on the freeway, I have to be all the way over in the right lane. Why? There are cars that can come over to my right here. And if you just think of the angle, the geometry of the situation, they have an angle. There's all this dick-looking space if they are to my right. Here, I'll show you what it looks like. I can't do it. Okay, so we've been through wide mouth bottle, check. You were all the way over in the right lane, so you've eliminated anyone passing you on the right. Now all you have to worry about is people on the left, but here's the beauty right here. I'm covered, right, by the door, and in jiu-jitsu we talk about this, if you're trying to protect yourself, someone's trying to grab your arm or someone's trying to put their hooks in, we say no space. You don't want to see any daylight, right? This means you're less vulnerable. I'm going to apply the same principle. What I'm going to do, since I know people can be on the left side, is put my elbow here. And again, since I'm using this as a knee rest, I can steer with my right hand. I can hold my hand up here nonchalantly, and I can relieve myself with no inconvenience to me.